That this is an annual home that you have to make. It's a huge exercise of steps when coming here. Today's meeting, honorable members, I think it has been brought to your attention that you start now until 4 o'clock so that you'll be able to discuss all the issues that are on the agenda. Whoever is receiving anything from the department, on annual report for social affairs and the implementation of the LPTEL and the department budget will discuss. Those are the items we'll be discussing and the time that is allocated here. Maybe for today, at least we'll have enough time. We won't rush. Honourable members, as the portfolio committee has been given these powers to do monitoring and oversight over the department and the state entities that come before the committee. This is the time whereby we will check and monitor the implementation of all the departments from emanating from the last department and check for today's briefing whether the department has performed, and we'll hear from the briefings whether there were some problems that have been achieved and those the target have been met. Without any waste of time, then I'll give over to the minister to lead us in the discussion.
Thank you very much, President and honorable members of parliament, members of the portfolio committee. We are here to participate as the agenda of the meeting. We, as you indicated, the three main items are those that we are going to focus on. The team really needs no introduction. We have the DM, the DG, Traditional Affairs. I haven't seen the DG. Bicok. Maybe on his way. Madam.
Good morning, Honorable Chairman and Honorable Minister, all the members of the Parliament. The Director General apologized for not being able to attend the policy meeting today because he is visibly out of 9 cabinet meetings together with the doctor.
Okay. So that is the apology. Without much ado, I think it's better to get into the presentation. I requested the chair that if the committee will agree, we start with the LPTEL report.
Mr. Apologies, I think interesting apologies on the member's side. Okay. I'll give over to Wendy. The week processing.
Chairperson, I've got an apology for Ms. Matoba. His daughter is ill, so he's not going to be here this week. That is the only apology I have. And for Shiko, Mr. Shiko, we were PSA with you on overtime. We only do apologies.
The apologies. I think from the current August, we wish you extend our sympathy and wish a speedy recovery for the daughter. I'm understanding today she'll be or undertaking a what do we call it, the operation that took 17 years. The illness, she was attacked. I don't know whether you've seen these small things. This boom in Eastern Cape on TV. These green things which came on field. Yeah, she was affected with those things, and she's suffering from an unknown disease from emanating from her for 17 years. So today she'll be undergoing operation. So we wish the office to extend sympathy and well wishes for the daughter to recover soon. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. I think it's the comment here, Greg. I will start with the health stuff. Okay. Okay. No, that's fine. We are presenting here, and on this item, I'll lead the presentation. A report on the state of local government since the advent of the turnaround strategy. And in the report, we will deal with the issues around the introduction, where we are going to give background in terms of how the situation is and how we approach the report, the presentation, and the report writing process. Will reflect so that we use that as a checklist when we look at the state of local government after the introduction of the turnaround strategy. We will reflect on how the situation looked like at the time of deciding to launch the turnaround strategy, what the aims of the strategy have been, and also the issues that were cited as causing the state of affairs reflected on the state of local government at the inception of the LDCAS, and also what was identified as needing attention. So the report in perspective will deal with those issues. Let me indicate the chairperson that this is the first report which we are working on. It and meant to finalize this by mid-June 2013. It is therefore a very, very first draft in terms of dealing with this question. Deciding to do that so that we align with the 2013-2014 financial year of municipalities. And the reason for doing that is that we need, in the spirit of local government in everybody's business, we need to make sure that this everybody's business is in reality responded to even when we develop the report. We worked together with stakeholders when we launched the turnaround strategy. It was a strategy that was meant to be responded to by various stakeholders. It was a strategy that, in terms of what it had to address, was actually responding to quite a number of issues raised by stakeholders in this understanding of us saying local government is everybody's business. And we made a call for all stakeholders to be part of it. And as we present the report, we are not deviating from that commitment. In fact, what we are just adding there is that let us all be part of it and all stakeholders be serious. We are therefore saying, even when it comes to the writing of the report, we are saying is local government everybody's business. I read up here there may be some challenges on that.
Addressing the issues that were identified when the LGTAL
was agreed upon, we need to entry. This is what we have to address. This report is presented in 11 points. And I know that in some of the areas we will be saying 10 volumes. It's presented in 11 volumes, with volume 1 presenting a national picture. That is when you look at the particular volume 1, it will address those issues but will not get into specifics. But when you look at volume 2, that focuses on the distant tip. And then volume 3, a Free State that goes forward like that. Why we have to do that is that when we talk about the turnaround strategy and we talk about the situation as is, we don't have to generalize, lest we paint all municipalities with the same brush. And when it comes to a situation where you have to respond, guided by this report, you may not be talking exactly to the situation as it applies. So we are then saying that the volumes that focus on provinces give us that opportunity to talk to specific situations where we are talking about specific municipalities. Volume 11, that will be the response package. It's not there because we, through this consultation, we will finalize the issues related to the response package. The response package is to say if the report will be identifying some of the areas where there is room for improvement. The package will then be listing quite a number of activities that must be done to deal with the situation or to address the situation. So that is what actually we then see in terms of this various volumes. The report is presented in three parts, with part one focusing on general development, policy development, state coordination arrangement, and multi-stakeholder engagement, which talks to the question of local government as everybody's business. And then part two focuses on profiling all municipalities in terms of the five priority areas to accelerate the implementation of the local government strategy. That is the area of accelerating service delivery, promoting good governance, enhancing sound financial management, fostering infrastructure development and maintenance, and also intensifying the fight against corruption. That is what part two is all about. And part three will focus on the LGTAS rollout program. And this LGTAS rollout program is to then say, noting lessons learned from this report, noting the situation development during the first phase of the LGTAS rollout, believing that there are areas where we need to continue to do things differently. What is it that we are then saying? That is what is in part three. By way of background today, we are just reminding ourselves, I have indicated that we use this question to assist us also in providing a checklist that if we have to respond to issues related to lessons learned, what were those issues? What were the questions when we disabled the turnaround strategy? And those questions that are listed there in bullet points are those issues that the assessment of the state of local government that was conducted and that gave rise to us noting some of the issues and therefore deciding that we needed to do things differently, and with them the instrument or vehicle to do that is the turnaround strategy. Those were the points that were prevalent depicting the state of municipality. That's a question of poor coordination between the three spheres of government, lack of coordination in planning projects and program implementation, lack of financial and human resource capacity to address the delivery backlog, participation by sector departments in the development of integrated development plans or IDPs, as also the implementation part of. Political interference with the administration of municipalities. All those listed there are the things that when you pick up your document, local government turnaround strategy, you realize that that's the situation as it was. So when we look at this and we have to talk about the impact, of the turnaround strategy. Amongst other things, we need to check as to whether there has been any shift in dealing with some of this. We are saying so because we want, as all of us consider the report and the state of the situation as to obtain now, we should do that guided exactly by those factors that made us believe that a turnaround strategy was needed. On all these things that we have just referred to, the turnaround strategy identified what was said to be possible causes. If these were causes in the past, if the situation today will reflect that the situation has not much changed, will these still be the causes? And if they are still causes, what makes them to be so stubborn that these causes cannot be cleared out of our way? Is it because they are stronger than those who are supposed to respond to the situation? Or is it because of other issues? Now, we're mentioning there seven of them, which is just a verbatim reproduction of what the strategy identified as possible causes of the situation as it was. Because you remember, colleagues, that in terms of the turnaround strategy, we're dealing with a situation of when you get into an area, you need to identify, you need to study the situation and identify if there are challenges in the area, understand what causes the challenges, assess your own strength as to whether you are equal to the task, you can deal with those things, act. If you believe that you and you alone will not be in a position to deal with that, negotiate partnership, then act, assess. If you have done things according to how it ought to be, you will find that the effect at the end would be better life for all the people. So those are the things that were identified that caused the that I just referred to. And of course, in terms of the turnaround strategy, we identified what was supposed to be done in order to deal with those issues. And the list that followed there is exactly what was supposed to be done. That national government, including state enterprises, to organize itself better in relating to local government. That is to say that the success, we know that local government exists as a sphere. And for local government to be strong, to be equal to what is expected of that, supports the mobility. The Constitution joins all the other spheres in terms of Section 154 to provide support to municipalities, either through legislation or other means. So that's why if you have national government, including, of course, we're indicating state entities, organized in a manner to deal with those issues, there's no way that we then say the challenges confronting may not be addressed. I'm not going to read all of those. They are clearly stated in there, but it's necessary that we address this issue. Now, having noted the situation as it was, and having noted that the situation called for more to be done, and having noted that the reason for more to be done was that there were clear indicators that there were challenges, and also having noted what causes those challenges, and having noted or agreed that for us to respond to those challenges, we needed to embark on practical steps, as I referred to, we then found ourselves a turnaround strategy, having to do things differently with two broad aims: to restore the confidence of the majority of our people in our municipalities, in our municipalities as the primary delivery machine of the developmental state at the local level, and make municipalities the pride of our people, and to rebuild and improve the basic requirements for a functional, accountable, responsive, effective, efficient developmental and local government. You realize that on the actions that were supposed to be done, there is a prefix RE, which means, RE means doing again. If you need to restore, it means that you have made some observation that the confidence is somehow affected. That's what the report that gave rise to the current strategy. So we need that to do. And also we need that to build a, again, and improve the requirements, improve that our quality, our modeling quality, embodying those features that we are talking about. Now, and as far as the report is concerned, we are then seeing, presenting the report in detail. The report is going to be presented in 10 volumes for now, and with a comment on the 11th volume, inviting, of course, that will deal with those ones. What we see in volume 1, which is the picture, the national picture, is a movement that will suggest from learning to stabilization. Learning to then see the turnaround strategy era gave us an opportunity that we deal with those issues in a manner that we indicate we want them to deal with. We learned, we observed. There are practical challenges and experiences associated with that. Now, what are we then doing? The issue, the point we're putting here as a center, is that we may not continue to just talk about turnaround. There has to be time that we talk about stabilization. And we're then seeing, when you stabilize, you then see, you look at a possibility of doing things the LGTAS way as a default mechanism for dealing with issues of local government, strengthening. As, of course, when you look at the IGP process, the IDP process for us to succeed, being the IDP process the way it ought to be, has to follow the guidance we receive from the turnaround strategy. The IDP, you don't just decide on an issue to say this is what you need to do. You first do an environment assessment. And after assessing that, you look at what may be challenges. And you look at what may be causing those challenges. You then look at yourself in terms of resources, capacity, and otherwise, whether you are in a position to deal with those issues, and then you deal with it. Whether it is not time that we may now begin to say, let's make it a point that as we deal with IDPs, we are dealing with IDPs as guided by lessons learned from turnaround a strategy. We are presenting in that report a state of local government after 2009, and with an objective of saying whether that may not assist us in dealing with, in broad and specific terms, the impact of LGTAS. And in this section of the report, that's where we are making observations on how the issues raised as things to be done were responded to in terms of the LGTAS. And on the model of local government, We are referring to what we actually then saying, because that was identified as one of the issues that we needed to respond to as part of the systemic issues that we needed to do. To then see, looking at the situation now, we are then saying that we took a decision and we continue to implement that we need to look at doing things differently. There we talk about issues about the green paper on cooperative governance. When you talk of cooperative governance, and you know that when the report was done on the state of municipality, that was at the point of a departure from this portfolio focusing on provincial and local government to broadly look at issues of cooperative governance. You then say you need to deal with those issues going forward, and we are engaging in terms of what is being done now. On policy and legislative factors, we indicate that there was a need identified that we needed to professionalize our municipal service. We needed to deal with issues around the integration of public service. And all those issues we then say we needed to do. We are then saying that the amendment of the Municipal Systems Act has been one of those things that was done to make sure that we address those issues as identified, like I'm saying, the professionalization of municipal service, dealing with other questions, some of which one will refer to later. That is what we needed to do. And also, in as far as making sure that when you deal with cooperative governance, in terms of talking about the support that you talk, we mean, we will also deal with questions where we have to support in the form of intervention. You know that Section 139 places the responsibility on interventions to municipalities. Section 100 does the same. We had to attend to that in order to address one of the issues that had to be done. A bill was developed to deal with those issues, and we continue to work on that with a view of finalizing. On political vectors, you remember that one of the priorities in terms of the EFSAS was the need to synchronize the election, where you'll be talking about a possibility where instead of having a country that is like actively engaged in preparing and participating in election, you might want to synchronize and have that one election for all the three different spheres. This is work in progress. As you know, that we're not yet there, but this is something that we need to finalize. On capacity and skills constraints, an observation was made that there was a need to establish a special table package to deal with questions of capacity enhancement through a dedicated mechanism established on this table, if the situation of course was to be addressed. It is here where we decided to establish the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, MISA, that had the objective, of course, to deal with issues around infrastructure, profiling, maintenance, enhancement, capacitation of those who work on the infrastructure, partnerships in the form of learning with other entities that are there. So that is the situation that we then see. It's one of the things that, and progress to date is that MISA is now building on the diagnosis done and successfully managing the following: deployed 67 engineers to respective municipalities, recruited and trained 200 artisans, providing engineering expertise in the assessment of natural disaster-related damages to fast-track the processing of claims and reduce the cost of involving external service providers when dealing with issues around disaster management. And of course, gradually becoming a PMU of choice for municipalities. And of course, dealing lately with questions of having to deal with questions of service delivery facilitators that has to be there. So these are some of the issues that then they needed to be done. On weak intergovernmental support, the question of intergovernmental support for the development and strengthening of the local government here was identified as a critical limitation. That more often than not, the role that COCTA plays is not considered visible, robust, and helpful without creating a feeling that the local state is overregulated. You know, this is an issue that most of the stakeholders will be raising to then say we have a situation that deals with that. We are dealing with issues in this area that places COCTA or DCOC in a position where it should not be like our biasness in terms of operating itself to provide support and not to monitor or to facilitate cooperative governance. Because, like I've indicated, all these government departments at provincial and national level have a role to play. But these roles that have to be played, DCOC also has a responsibility in terms of facilitating that. Now, the issues around and this is where then the other important matter to remember is because so far we're dealing specifically with the issues that we identified. Now, when we look at a situation where we say national government, including state enterprises, should organize itself better in relation to local government, we are identifying some of the issues that need further attention to it. And like, for instance, when you look at the issues around electricity provision, we are then saying that we know that the supply of electricity is a program that stands on two processes. At generation and transmission level, we can say that there is ESCOM actively participating in what we may sometimes agree, if we even say that it's a monopoly kind of development. But when it comes to distribution, we know very well that we took a decision at some stage to transform the electricity distribution industry through the EDI processes. And we're looking at situations of creating the regional electricity distributors, but we reached a stage at some point that that process is halted. At the moment, when we then say, look at the situation of municipalities, and in an area where a municipality is not a license holder to distribute electricity, what we consider as economic factors that wanted to achieve through the EDI structuring process, to what extent that those things accommodated in dealing with those issues. So those are the things that we needed to look at. Now, and this is now in part two, where we are then saying that we're looking at the five priority areas. We took a decision in 2012 to then say if the two aims of the broad aims of the SDGs, one is of which is to build confidence or rebuild confidence, what are those things that if we were to do correctly, we will have confidence between the people and the government, strengthen and restore. We identify those five. And then the successful implementation of this will actually deal with questions related to strengthening that relationship. We identified 23 districts that are said to be in distress. We are mentioning them there throughout our country. The volume 2 up to 10 are going to focus on us profiling municipalities against these five priority areas. But a national picture, in as far as the five priority areas, as this is volume 1, a national picture will then be saying that when it comes to progress with accelerating service delivery, we're looking at the critical challenges, facilitating basic services being the lack of critical infrastructure in rural areas and the proliferation of informal settlements in urban areas. And all these obstacles are beyond the full capability or institutional physical of the power, the funding of municipalities to confront by themselves. In the report, here I'm just picking up this as one of the issues, but in the report, you will see quite a lot of things that we are talking about when it comes to issues around accelerating service delivery. That's why as legislation is concerned, we have spoken to the bills that we are developing, and we are here just indicating in terms of specifically what those bills are supposed to address. That, of course, will include a situation where we are saying we did identify some pieces of legislation that we say are inhibiting service delivery. If you look at page 7, I'm just going through so that I don't repeat quite a number of them. We are mentioning some of those. As we know that we reported, of course, these are not acts that have been identified by ourselves, but the stakeholders in this understanding of local government being business for all of us, everybody's business. There are those who say that there are certain sections of the constitution that they believe that needed to be revisited, lest we have a challenge in as far as addressing issues. There are those stakeholders that say the Public Finance Management Act the Local Government and Finance Management Act, and also the Visa Act, and all those pieces mentioned there. We took a step as part of turning the situation around to approach those stakeholders that identified within this legislation, and then they argue your case, raise those issues, and refer to line executive authorities that have the responsibility to deal with these issues. And up to this time now, we have now taken a decision that we need to work on one bill that seeks to respond to all those issues. So that's what we are then raising, just like that. But when you look at page 50, the national picture as far as access to services is concerned, you see a situation where we are then arguing commenting in specific areas to say households using electricity for lighting increased from 68.2% in 1996 to 84.7% in 2011, while those using paraffin and candles decreased over the same period. Those are figures that I may not just be going through them, but those are figures that will be showing in terms of the access that we have to basic services. The census report, clearly indicates in terms of those issues where we are seeing access to services is concerned. On promoting good governance, we are referring again to the amendment of the Systems Act and all related activities in as far as dealing with those issues. We are also talking about the regulations that we are all aware that we are dealing with to give effect to the implementation of that piece of legislation, which we know that one of the other things that that act does and the recommendations in enabling its implementation is to make sure that we stay clear from situations where appointment of municipal workers are not done according to particular competency requirements to entrench that to make it the point that we have to approach this matter in a particular manner, including the depoliticization of the municipal service in terms of prescribing exactly that people holding certain offices in particular political organizations or in political establishment may not be participating as senior managers in our municipalities. We are giving the issue around the filling of posts there in terms of how far we are, 79% out of the 278 municipal manager posts and 81% and those are the figures that talk to address those issues. In as far as initiative to improve financial management at municipalities, we are dealing with these issues. As you remember that one of the priority key performance areas in terms of outcome 9 was to make sure that we have a differentiated instrument in terms of dealing with issues of municipal financing. We are going to provide more details in terms of that, and that is what as you heard that the DG is working on what is, among other things, to identify those commitments that made in terms of dealing with this issue. Now, we are also looking at situations where, when it comes to accounting, it's very clear in terms of legislation that we need we should be submitting annual reports. And these annual reports in terms of ranking from 46, 47 to 48, binding municipalities and MECs and the minister to provide annually a report on the state of municipalities. So then say that this is what we are dealing with the situation. Now, we are giving a status in terms of Section 139 intervention. Just to look at situations where we talk about enhancing good governance, because if there are areas where there is failure to deal with those issues, as part of a board, we deal with all those issues in a particular manner, guided by the Constitution, in as far as all these issues are concerned. Now, when it comes to that, by way of an example, because as we guided ourselves, as you see in the report, when it comes to financial management and good governance and all those, we listed a number of persons that we should use as a checklist. For instance, when you do an analysis of the ability of our municipalities to spend their money and the ability of our municipalities to pay those people they owe and to ensure that those that owe municipalities must respond and pay accordingly, the ability to collect revenue. We even do a table there that shows how the municipalities are being, those that are being owed and those that owe, including, of course, when it comes to those that owe, look at situations where even if government departments that are owing municipalities, we're looking at those situations so that we engage to make sure that we enhance the capacity of municipalities to collect the revenue that they are supposed to do. We're looking at issues around the clean audit. It's one of the targets that we set ourselves in terms of the turnaround strategy. It's one of the targets that we set ourselves. And as you remember that year in, year out, we see a fluctuation in a quarter performance, even with one municipality. We find some municipalities will achieve a clean audit in a given year, the following year, they regress, and the following year, they get another rating. It's a fluctuation. Of course, are those that maintain a consistency. If you look at volume 2 up to volume 10, you will see those municipalities that are consistent in performance. But most areas of consistency is the performance rating of unqualified with some emphasis of matter. A consistent clean, you don't have a much of that. That's why, as a national picture, we are talking about that when you look at clean audit, we are then saying for now, we regress by 4. For unqualified, we regress by 30. For qualified, we regress by 10. For disclaimer, we improve by 19. For outstanding, I think it improved by 26, then the total is actually giving. The teacher then says we definitely have to do more when it comes to this issue around the financial management. In the issue of good governance, I refer to the issues, and in the report you'll see that in the fight against corruption, We are definitely, that is one area, of course, we need there's room for improvement. Therefore, in as far as volume 11 is concerned, we will be indicating in that volume, because the question would be, if you look at volume 2 up to 10, you look at municipalities, say, in one province or in the other province, then the question would be then, do we see ourselves achieving the clean audit target by 2014, which is next year. We are then saying that we are taking you'll see in volume 11 when we finalize that we are taking municipalities that perform, we are doing a four-year analysis as there in each municipality in volume 2-10. With that analysis, we are then seeing all those municipalities that on average would be found to have performed below a qualified rating. We are putting them to an accelerated program of responding and doing things differently, with the view that if we may turn a situation around for all those municipalities from qualified to non-submission, if we can turn those around to be either at the second level, which is unqualified, with methods, with emphasis of method, or being unqualified without the emphasis of method, which we refer to as clean audit. If we may turn the situation around, we will find ourselves in a situation where we can see, we can tell a different story by the end of the financial year. Our target in terms of dealing with that is looking at the financial year that starts in July 2013 and ends in June 2014 to make sure that in this subject mechanism of dealing with those issues, we will find ourselves in a position where we can tell a different story. And in terms of volume 11, of course, we'll also be saying the MDP route is the way to go. We have to do things guided also by the National Development Plan that we as a country adopted, which is a country position towards 2030, with the implementing instrument in government establishment. With that, we need to look at that as well. We have to continue to focus and give more attention. That's why as district in distress has under 23, because that is what we have to deal with. In as far as fighting corruption, we are starting from the ethics level and going up to the level of corruption. There is a framework, ethics and integrity framework, that has been developed. We talk about the public sector for now, because we're not yet in the real public service era. Talk about municipal service, but how do we deal with issues of implementing the code of conduct and also dealing with questions of recruitment and the like. So this is the picture that would then be as part of our very first draft. At the national picture, this is what you see. At the provincial picture, it's exactly what is there. And there we did not send a report of 18 pages, 45 pages. We sent a full report, still a draft at the picture. But the picture at provinces looks differently as to what you see in those reports. I may not be presenting those reports one by one, because we do have, but I want to then place and say, this is how we see things, and therefore this is how we then be working together in dealing with the report writing as everybody's business. We will come to a point where when we finalize our response package, we then say we need to deal with all those issues and deal with them according to how the lessons tell us. So thank you very much, Captain, and I want to pause.
Thank you, Mr. I've done a very big mistake of not allocating time to you.
I thought
you are better than PM. And
no, point of order. Point of order. I've said nothing, and I mean saying nothing. So I'll get a back on me, and I'll be my lawyer.
I've known you for a long time.
Sorry? Well, the new circumstances, no, I don't see much. But thank you. So I step out there.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. We've almost gone through an hour doing the presentation. So I think members, here is the presentation. The minister has been presenting the way forward on the turnaround strategy, which maybe is trying to address issues that or lessons that have been learned from the turnaround strategy that has been launched in 2009 until now. We've been drawing lessons on how issues in municipalities on interventions and support have gone, and now he's bringing the vision before us as a draft. Rupai Hill highlighted that the final document will be out in June. I think let's entertain some questions, comments on the panel. Start at Peter, Honorable Smith, Honorable Stan Hazen, Honorable DiCatello, Honorable Boinamo, Honorable Sehalezai.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks to the Minister for his presentation. Just a comment first and then some questions. You know, it strikes me that what has struck me past, which still strikes me now, is that very fact we have a turnaround strategy is in response to the fact that the municipal system that we created back in 2000 has been in distress for its entire existence. In fact, you could even be less generous and call it a state of crisis, which is why you have a turnaround strategy. And when it was first envisaged, it was envisaged as an interim strategy, attempting to turn around a problem that arose. And it soon became apparent that, in fact, it had to become a permanent feature of the governance of the municipal system. It became a permanent strategy instead of a that it comes to one source. Which seems to indicate then that the state of municipalities generally is permanently in distress, permanently in crisis, which is why we need permanent turnaround strategy to deal with, which is very problematic to me. And I, you know, when I listen to the minister saying, introducing that phrase, from learning to stabilization, you know, I mean, the question is, you know, from learning to stabilization, I mean, how long does it take us to learn something? We established the system in 2000. So it took 9 years before we had a turnaround strategy, but it seems to me we're always asking questions, we're always trying to learn and stabilize, we're always putting out fires. And this whole turnaround strategy is about putting out fires. And it even worries me, in fact, as a general thing as well, Chair, that when we measure certain elements of progress, how are we able to determine whether that positive outcome is a function of turnaround strategy or what might have happened anyway? I mean, if, for example, one quotes better stats for sanitation, is that saying, well, if there weren't a turnaround strategy, there would be no increase at all? No, we're not saying that. Would electricity supply have distribution, would that increase? Yes, would it increase whether or not this turnaround strategy in place. So I would be very keen to know when you, in this report, show progress, that you're able to attribute the progress correctly. Because I suspect much of the so-called progress would be there anyway, and I don't know necessarily that the turnaround strategy has achieved the things about in this report. But then maybe some specific questions, Joe, that would be nice. I'd start, you know, we got to look at a short version of the report, which is essentially the same as the longer one, so the print is smaller. But just for clarity, I'll go through it very briefly. On the model of local government, which is page 6 of the one we were given, which I suppose in the limited version is somewhere down here, I don't even know where it is. Oh yes, page 11. Speak about the green paper. I don't actually understand that paragraph at all. It says a draft green paper is being considered for finalisation, but one of the issues is whether you continue with this green paper process at all. Sorry, I don't understand that. If you have a green paper process, the green paper throws out the options and then you respond to those issues thrown out in the green paper. But the option of continuing with the green paper process doesn't make sense here. Could I get some clarity on that? Then there's on my page, whatever it is, but the issue with political factors as part of the problem scenario there. The only issue raised in the presentation here on political factors is whether the elections are synchronized. But I thought the whole issue of political problems that we were dealing with went way beyond that. We're talking about political interference in municipalities. We're talking about conflicts between MMs and mayors. We're talking about party structures, interference in the administration, and all those sorts of issues that impact upon service delivery. So I'm not quite sure why the political factors under 223 are restricted to election synchronization. And then moving on to the current document. Okay, sorry, Jim. Let me get the pages in order here. Okay. Chairperson, on page 17, the minister asks, you know, that since we've got the turnaround strategy now, it has to be business as usual. then you ask the question, is this solely the responsibility of Costa? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is obviously no. Is it due to weaknesses in Costa? I don't think that question, the second one, has been answered. I'm not sure where, other than one reference I come to now, it actually says we, Costa, have got something wrong. The rest is describing why that there are problems. But I don't see Costa looking inside itself saying we screwed something up. So, I mean, my question is there a weakness in Costa? Have you identified those weaknesses? I'd be curious on that. On page 19, Chair, references made under the heading National Government Organizing Itself Better. References made, for example, to national departments not organizing themselves properly, a consequence of which, one consequence of which, is that municipalities end up doing things for which they have no jurisdiction. Now, I mean, if we talk about unfunded mandates, which has been with Hitler since 1994, then I think I can say that it doesn't sound like that's what it's intended to be, but so maybe you could just explain what that means. Let me go on here. Chairperson, I like the focus on the five focus areas, although I noticed that the report doesn't finalize them, or actually that whole section, which is the rest of the report, you do need a fresh version, I think. So, I mean, we shouldn't be too harsh in the fact giving us the draft version, because it's packaged reasonably poorly, I must say. But it doesn't matter. At least we're getting the thinking, so that's quite good. But there's just a few things on here. On page 21, references made to the State of Local Government report back in 2009, identifying policy legislative gaps. Right? Now, that's 2009. Now, we're now living in 2013, and the minister's coming out, yes, we have these legislative gaps, and there's a whole raft of legislation coming. And I counted, I don't know, four, five, I don't know, six bills that are all in the planning stage we're going to be beaten up. So the question is, what's happened in the last 3 years in your department? And there, I must say, if you do make the point on page 25, yes, there's been a delay in finalizing the matter, chiefly because those who identify these laws do not go far beyond mentioning them. If I understand that, Chair, what seems to me to be saying is that back in 2009, the department recognized there was a need to change a whole lot of laws, but did nothing about it. Is that the case? Is that what it's intended to say? And if it is, could the Minister explain what the consequences of that were for those officials who seem to have done nothing for the last 3 years in that particular challenge? Chairperson, I will leave it. Oh, wait a minute, there's another one this time, there. Oh, yeah. The consequence of not achieving your audit outcomes in 2014, I think, is actually not something I can gloss over. The fact of the matter is that we've been going backwards in our financial reporting state municipalities, and the audit outcomes are a clear reflection of regression generally. Now, we had an Operation King audit for 2014 with certain targets, which were clearly over-ambitious. But nonetheless, if you set those targets, then you are bound by those targets. If you don't believe you're going to make them, you should have other targets. And it seems to me that now, to say, oops, we've got to make it, we'll have to review the situation, and maybe we'll make it in sometime we don't win. That's quite a backtracking exercise. So what are the consequences of that? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. Madam Chairperson, thank you very much, and thanks to the Minister for the presentation. And so we're not turning to the Deputy Minister today. It's kind of like going to the Beatles concert with Paul McCartney not there. So. but to say that, I think, you know, if you wanted to measure any strategy against what it set out to achieve in the beginning. And I think if we look at the two big thrusts of what the strategy was supposed to address, broad aim, restore confidence, majority of people in our municipalities, as a primary delivery machine of the developmental state at the local level, and make municipalities the pride of our people. Now, I would say, in my view and my experience of local government, travelling around my work with this committee, that we've not achieved that. In fact, we're very far away from that final goal still. And then to rebuild and improve the basic requirements for functional, accountable, responsive, effective, efficient developmental local government. Here, I think we've made slightly more progress to the first goal. But we're not there yet either. And so, you know, I need to understand how long is this going to remain our strategy of the department, and when does it come a time for us to draw a line, look at it carefully and say, well, look, the strategy has worked, it's time for us to change direction, let's do something try something completely different because we're hitting our head against a brick wall here. And then I just really need to understand the where we are with the local government and the municipal turnaround strategies at a municipal level. The department embarked upon the process of having this LGPAS at the heart of the minister's forward to the annual report in 2010-11, and the latest one. And so it's been placed at the heart of the forward and the documentation. Who's monitoring those municipal turnaround strategies? The department went to great lengths to assist municipalities that's spoken about in the reports and in the documentation. We could really sit those municipalities and make sure that MTAP was adopted at that local level. And has there been a qualitative, not only a quantitative assessment of the effectiveness of those at a level? In other words, those municipalities adopted MTAP, has there been an improvement in the audit outcome? Has there been an improvement in servicery on a municipality basis? Because, you know, trying to draft to fall through the report that you're dealing with later on a province-by-province basis is a frustrating exercise. There are municipalities that I've visited in the course of the last 2 years that aren't even in those documentations. Some in the Eastern Cape, some in the Northern Cape. I mean, they don't even appear there. So it's very difficult for me to assess what the progress has been. So is there a document that looks at those municipalities that were assisted with MTAP and what has been achievement against MTAP there? And then I just want to just go back to my hobby, apologies, Minister, the anti-corruption spectrum, because now we've got a new thruster in terms of the latest report on the fight against corruption that deals with a whole host of new measures that are going to be dealt with. What happened with ACI? I mean, when you briefed the committee in between 9th and the 11th, I mean, it is making steady progress. Anti-corruption secretariat has been established. The mandate and role is being refined. Was there staff members? Were there staff members allocated there? Were there projects? What have they handed over? What cases of progress were they dealing with? And who have they given those to? What have been the outcome of those? And how do you, as the department, intend to drive those forward? Because, you know, I think we're still waiting to get to grips with exactly, you know, what's happened to that beast and where it's been incorporated and who's going to take responsibility for it. And then, Chairperson, you know, perhaps for me one of the biggest problems which we experienced as a committee, we experienced it as most recently, our last oversight visit to Ermelo. You know, the key fundamental, I think, that's missing out of particularly the rural local municipalities, the capacity. And, you know, I'm not seeing a proactive strategy. Yes, we've got MISA, the numbers are different, the last report, it doesn't, it's got XX autism, so it's difficult to see how many have been placed with new municipalities, etc. What are we doing to do what the National Development Plan exhorts us to do, and that's, you know, create a career path within local government that's going to attract capacity, people with skills into those positions? We saw the devastating impact in Ermelo of a town, you know, that essentially ran out of water and there's not a water engineer in sight. And, you know, it's deliberately speaking to and undermining the two goals of the strategy. So, you know, I would like to see at some stage from the department where they're working on it, where something still be done, a strategy on how we're going to capacitate local government, how we're going to bring qualified personnel into municipalities to improve service delivery and to be able to roll out services on a greater level, which also then speak to ability to spend grant funding. You know, we roll out these huge amounts of cash to municipalities. They've got no capacity for supply chain management, for quantity surveying, for standing properly, you know, to spend those funds. And then we sit back and we point fingers at them for not spending. And, you know, I think that there needs to be some, you know, some introspection around how we actually capacitate them to actually spend this money, rather than saying, oh, well, you know, we've done our part, we've rolled out the money to them, you know, they're not doing it to them, you know, it's their fault. And I think we should take the department to form a proactive role in developing capacity at that level. Otherwise, we're going to sit here 3 or 4 years down the line still with us not having met these two very important and notable goals, which the government's original 2009 initiative set out.
I think one of some of your concerns in your
your contribution in this meeting. As I've understood the presentation, the volumes stems for some volume 2 to 9 to 10 with provinces.
Yes.
So by one volume would be looked at in one province, for example, Mpumalanga, with all the municipalities, with all the successful challenges and the like, so that you'll be able, as us members, just if you want to go to a municipality to do assessment, as you're saying, very difficult now to monitor municipalities and check assessment, how are they performing. You go to that document, you go to the volume, and you check what has been audited in each municipality in terms of profiling those municipalities. I think if the document will be in that, will assist a lot, because you'll be able to monitor each and every municipality and maybe to hold the department accountable on how far they assisted or intervened in those findings in each municipality that they put in each volume. And the second issue on MISA, on the issue that we experienced in Sugarloaf municipality in ML. Remember, in one of the recommendations of that report, we agreed that that still stands. We agreed that we need to have a standalone presentation on MISA on how has deployed those 67 engineers been deployed to those municipalities and what is the impact thereof. I think that one still stands, and we need to the minister can respond. I think that the recommendation still stands, so to be able to understand what is their intervention in those municipalities in crisis. You want to come again?
I'm just coming again on the volumes, Madam Chair, because I think you're right. And I think if the volumes were consistent in what they say and how the information is set out, I think yes. But you know, there is an inconsistency in how the reporting is being done, which is why you know some are thicker than others. Some of the information is being cut and pasted off internet and just put into the report. I would like to see a formal standardised reporting. Some have included NIC and expenditure. Some haven't. Some have included debtors and creditors. Some haven't. And so it's inconsistency in these volumes, which makes their usefulness as a measurement tool that much harder for us, because now we're going to have to go and fetch around information that's not in there. And I think that the story that's not in some of these documents, it speaks far more volumes than what is actually in the document.
I think the department is noting that let us portfolio committee wait for the final draft and see what is in the final draft of the report.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just a comment. And let me just thank the Minister with this general report. I remember, Minister, that we had a meeting with you. I think your friend came into the quarter. You were saying more or less the same thing that you are saying in the report. And I remember very well that I remarked that if 50% of these things can be done, we'll have the best department in the culture. What made me to say this is I'm a bit disturbed. I just want to find out the report that we are having. In the last meeting, people were laughing at me here in the meeting when I said some of us are just going to turn around until we feel dizzy. And they thought I mean dizzy in physical way. But now, I think this is the business that I was talking about. I just want to find out, can I remember that you were already doing as you said? And then I just wanted a clarity on how from now, from the past up to June, what's going to happen? Is this turnaround going to be in use, or are we going to wait for it to be full-fledged and then we can exercise on it? Because here in your challenges, like things like poor coordination between the three spheres, the political interference, the capacity challenges due to critical vision positions, those things are there and they'll be there. So what I just want to find out from you, Minister, what's going to happen in the interim? Are we going to wait for the report, or will we be able to see the difference in what you have just mentioned? That's one question and just a comment. I can't say I'm worried, but I think I'm busy as I said this. Thank you.
Hoping in New South Wales there will be remedy for that business. Honorable Namo.
Before I comment and ask one of the questions, I want to refer the committee, the meeting, to page 21, paragraph 1, the last, rather towards the end of the second sentence, which starts with Nakamagiri, New York. It's not Nakamagiri, New York, it's Nakamagiri, then. And the committee on party, one of the parties, they are not supposed to be coming from the street. Right. Minister, page 21. Minister, I've been listening to your presentation. Pardon?
I could say that by not
speaking
to
you, I don't want to be a question. No, it was just a clearly, there is good intention to have good government as reflected in the minister's presentation. But how I wish the same intention could be enforced upon local government officials, where we all know that corruption is rampant. Minister, I say coerce them because it does not mean that they do not know what the policies are, they don't know, they know exactly what the policies are, what the right things should be done. They know the policies. They systematically and intentionally ignore them, and thereby derailing all these good plans. And this is why then the turnaround strategy becomes the plan feature of this department, because if things are not done correctly at that level, you will never achieve anything, even if you have to have good intentions. Now the question is, what plans are in place to stop the proliferation of informal settlements, and I'd say not only in urban areas but also in rural areas, because this indeed place severe stress on service delivery. It could be any kind of service delivery, but if we keep on having, overnight emergence of informal settlement, we'll never get to a point where we say, now we have completed the space of into another phase of our provisioning of warehouses or electricity or whatever. And there are municipalities that seem not to be able to collect the revenue, Minister. And my question is, what is the main obstacle impeding these municipalities from collecting revenue? And what is it that can be done in order to assist them to come on par with other municipalities that are reforming? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks the department for the report. And like you have added, that we really are happy that we have a report beforehand, and it makes us to really read and ask ourselves a lot of questions. I would like to zoom in page 33, whereby the indication of the vacant posts are indicated. I've just taken the municipal manager's post, whereby they are said it has been said that 70% filled. I would like to know how does the municipality, and I know that within the within the report, it indicates that the national department or the provincial department do help sending people, But my concern is how does the municipality work without the MM? And unfortunately, the report doesn't indicate the remaining percent. If we have filled the whole 75%, how is for how long? Because we find that there is a lot of acting municipality for quite a number of time, and we know that at a certain stage, really, an acting position doesn't give a deal for a person to really do what he's supposed to do. The next stage, 34, down there, where we talk about the municipal performance reporting, where it is indicated that there is a tool, which is a municipal performance measuring tool. Can we have that tool, which will help us in our oversight? The last one is the anti-corruption. Do you know, when I talk about anti-corruption in the municipality in particular, really, it's something which really makes me to be very sudden, because really there is a lot of corruption, Minister. And the issue, my problem when I'm sitting here, there are corruptions which were indicated or identified by the late Honorable Supreme of Tech. When I'm sitting here, I ask when the baton was handed over to Ntatebalo. We know more here about what the former minister have seen. I'm going to give to cite an example of Rustenburg Municipality, whereby Councillor Mospapo was killed because he was possessing evidence of corruption. And to seal that, the people have been arrested and they are in the, as we talk, they are saving whatever. But my problem is what has been done by the corruption, because the corruption is there, people are being sentenced, but the corruption, we like to know where it is. And we hear a lot of things, Honorable Minister, whereby the MMs are doing whatever. Therefore, when we talk about anti-corruption, I can see that we have established it. But I will really want to know what is it like, how progress, because I'm hearing about anti-corruption, but on daily basis I'm hearing about corruption. Does this anti-corruption really have an impact? And I think this chairperson, I can understand this one day. We are going to deal, but there is a lot of things. But when we talk about this general strategy, I think we have to really look at it. Maybe to even help the minister about things he doesn't know, so that he can start investigate. It really needs time to really be unpacked, so that we can be reading from the same page, all of us. Thank you very much.
I think, Minister, in your response on the vacant post, that 70% of vacancy has been filled, you also maybe respond in saying that have they been filled according to the Municipal Structures Act? All the requirements that are there have been followed. Honorable Nelson, do you have something? Okay. Can I just add one, two people that we have give over to you? Not really emanating from this presentation, but I want to link it under the governance program, policy and research program. It turned around maybe strategy in 2013-14 program,
if the department took a decision that this will align this program with the implementation of MPTAR. I just want to check, because on reading on your budget to this program has been decreased by 33%, and yet now it's introduced this document. How is this going to effectively implement it, because it's aligned it under the policy and research program of the department? And also, I just want to add on the anti-corruption model. I've read the turnaround strategy whereby all the structures have been put in place in municipalities to monitor. I just want to check how is it going to be monitored, looking maybe backward in a few years that we've discussed with the document, with the department, saying that warm bodies to be deployed in provinces are not enough, so that there will be a thorough monitoring in municipality. And also, I don't know what to call that department. There were some officials from department that have been deployed to provinces that assisted me. In the technical unit, I'm reminded. And it's no longer there. By assessing and seeing things in some provinces, there were no controversies, in some there were, but in some provinces like Mpumalanga, there was a huge impact on those officials from national that were deployed there. I just want to check the doing of assessment. That is there any case that maybe you can revise that one according to your assessment, from whether it helps or not? Then since I give over to you, maybe please give it over to you, because I've seen that there's still, it's not, well, I was hearing a something in because I'm like a IT here. It can maybe break for 10 minutes. Now it's 11:15. If you can come back 11:25. Yes, this is because it's a lot of time.
But when you carry it, you put this like
and then you just put it,
and then it's like that. Oh, right. Yeah, people give me a hard time. You can have a keyboard, but you know, if I ask you for a keyboard, when I save so much of money buying mangoes, you know,
you know, I brought my own.